Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Dear Lord, we come before you one more time to hear your word. We pray, Lord, that you will give us prepared hearts, hearts that can receive your word, hearts that can be transformed. I pray, oh God, that you give me access to hardened hearts, access to difficult hearts. Lord, may your word soften every heart that is here, and may your word fall on fertile ground in the name of Jesus. I avail myself, oh God. You know the secrets of man. You know my inadequacies. Holy Spirit, I avail myself. Use me as a vessel and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We've been talking a lot about the poisons. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. We've been sharing for several weeks, and the message has been taken from a very wonderful book that was written by the presiding bishop. Poison. Hallelujah. It's a very good book, and I want to encourage all of you to read it. I believe all of you have it, and you need to read it. Amen. I am being blessed as we are sharing from this book. Hallelujah. And I believe that even when you read it, the Lord will give you even deeper revelation. Amen. Amen. So we've been sharing the power of the tongue. And today I want us to continue. So if you will turn with me to James chapter 3. And I will read. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire." You see, when the word of God says something, you have to believe it. When the Bible says something, we must believe it. You see, let us not belittle it and just take it as, oh, you see, the Bible does not talk about metaphors and, you know, you just, it's a real thing. Hallelujah. It's a real thing. And it says that it can set your whole life on fire. The tongue can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. That is the nature of the tongue. Unfortunately, it's the nature of the tongue that it is set on fire by hell itself. Where the hardest fire is, that is the supplier to the tongue. Hallelujah. So he said, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poisons. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth because of the tongue that is inside. Hallelujah. Because of the tongue that is inside. You see, that is why, you see, if you look at most parts of the body, you realize that most orifices are not covered, or most organs are not protected so much. You know, if you look at the eye is supposed to be a very delicate organ. Do you see? But what protects the eye is just the eyelid and the eyelashes. Do you see? Just the eyelid and the eyelashes. Some of you who think the eyelashes are for something else, it's to protect your eye. You see, so that is all. If you look at the ear, it's a very important organ. It doesn't even have closure, something that protects it. The nose, by its design, is designed such that it points down so that things will not fall into your nose. Assuming our nostrils were like that, you see, then a lot of things will be falling inside. But God is so wonderful. But the tongue, look at the guards, the things that protect, are covering the tongue. The teeth, such that the tongue cannot be released rough. And not only the teeth, then the lips closes it. You see, because it's a very dangerous organ. It can set your life on fire. Hallelujah. The Bible says, out of the same mouth come pouring out blessings and curses. Hallelujah. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Hallelujah. Why don't you say to somebody, this is not right. Hallelujah. This is not right. So the Bible says the tongue is full of deadly poison. It is full of deadly poison. And I think if we have such a member so close to us, something so accessible, something so easily used, you see, you realize that it's not, you don't need a lot of effort to use a tongue. You don't need a lot of effort to utilize this organ. Hallelujah. You know, there are some people who, have difficulty using the brain, for instance. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? It is difficult for you to remember things. It is difficult for you to put certain things in your mind and then bring them up when they need to be. Do you see? Certain things are difficult, but the tongue, its work is very, very easy. And the Bible says it is full of deadly poison. Therefore, I think we need to know what these deadly poisons are. Hallelujah. And that is what we've been sharing. Sharing about the deadly poisons of the tongue. And I believe I've given you some few deadly poisons that we are taking care of. Hallelujah. And what is the first deadly poison? Lies. 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 It's a deadly poison. Hallelujah. And the second one, you people are in church. Hardened hearts. What is the next one? Hardened heart is under lies. These are the things that we listed under lies. Isn't that so? But I give you the poison of the tongue. And the first one is what? Lies. And the second one is what? Flattery. Amen. The second one is flattery. And last week, I think but of course, under lies, we have the tools of Satan. What are they? What are the things, the subtitles we talk about under lies? We talk about the hardened heart. What else? A tool of Satan. The one that generates hatred. Did we talk about that? Only three people were in church. We said that lies evoke hatred. That is one of the things. But we say that they are tools of Satan. Do you take notes in church? You see, you have to learn how to take notes, and your notes should be orderly. Hallelujah. So we talk about one point, and then under that point, we list certain things. Wonderful. We are not going to go back to it. So please go and listen to the message. Amen. So today I want us to continue. I want to talk about the third poison of the tongue. And the third point that I want to give you is the poison of tale-bearing. The poison of tale-bearing. Tale-bearing. Hallelujah. Tale-bearing. The poison of tale-bearing. Another deadly poison of the tongue is tale-bearing. And this is another deadly poison. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Tale-bearing. Tale-bearing. Poison of the tongue. Leviticus chapter 19 and 16. Are you there? It says, ye shall, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. It says, thou shalt not go up and down as a tale-bearer among thy people. Why don't we all join and let's read this louder. Thou shalt not go up and down as a tale-bearer among thy people. Hallelujah. One more time. Thou shalt not go up and down as a tale-bearer among thy people. Hallelujah. The Bible says you should not go up and down as a tale-bearer among your people. Among your people, do not be a tale-bearer. Now, what is a tale-bearer? What is a tale-bearer? Let me give you a definition of a tale-bearer. Definition of a tale-bearer. A tale-bearer is a person who spreads gossips. A tale-bearer is a person who spreads gossips, secrets, and so on that may cause trouble or harm. Hallelujah. A tale-bearer is a person who spreads gossips or secrets that may cause trouble or harm. That may cause trouble or harm. Hallelujah. So, a tale-bearer is like a person-to-person evangelist. Hallelujah. But not evangelizing for soul winning. You see, he's moving from person to person, but he's just spreading secrets and spreading lies. Hallelujah. Spreading secrets and spreading gossips. Amen. And the goal is to cause harm or trouble. Hallelujah. So you see, you don't allow yourself for the enemy to use you as a tale-bearer. Do not allow the enemy to use you for this particular poison. Hallelujah. You see, because tale-bearing destroys relationships. Tale-bearing comes to destroy relationships. Sometimes it destroys the relationship between pastors. As you are moving from pastor to pastor, bearing tales, you're destroying a relationship between them. Sometimes you are destroying relationship between pastors and the congregation. Sometimes among the congregation. Hallelujah. Sometimes a tale-bearer comes to spoil the relationship between a husband and a wife. Amen. Or two sisters. Or two brothers. Hallelujah. Or sometimes it will make two enemies at worst to become worse enemies. Hallelujah. A tale-bearer is not a good thing. Amen. A tale-bearer goes around. Have you heard this? Have you heard that? Have you heard this? They are saying this. They are saying that. They are saying this and they are saying that. Have you heard this? Every time a tale-bearer will ask, have you heard this? Hallelujah. A tale-bearer, when he has some tale to tell you, cannot wait to tell you. So early morning, you see a tale-bearer calling on your phone. And you see a missed call. And then he'll call again. And call again. Can't reach you. He can't wait to reach you. Hallelujah. And finally, he gets, you see, multiple phone calls. Multiple, what is this? That, you know, this person is trying to, so you feel, finally he says, oh, where have you been? Where have you been? I've been searching for you everywhere. Where have you been? And then he said, what? So you think that she finished some quiet time and some powerful revelation? That she has some powerful revelation that he's going to share with you. Some powerful scripture that has been unveiled to him or her that she wants to share with you. Hallelujah. Then he says, where have you been all? He says, yeah, I see multiple calls from you. You don't know. You don't know what is going on. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you also, you are so eager. Sometimes you see the call that has come. You see the missed calls. You know what is coming. You know that there's some new filler is coming in. And so, I miss all these calls. And then quickly, you die. And then you take a seat. You sit down. You relax. You want the stories. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone who enjoys hearing, a person who enjoys a tale bearer is also a tale bearer. Hallelujah. If you enjoy listening to a tale bearer, you realize you are also a tale bearer. Amen. Now you realize that a tale bearer, as he moves from one place to the other, you see, as he's telling the story from one person to the other, it gets to a point where the story gets boring. Do you see? And as she's about to tell you, it's like you've heard this story already. So they have to spice it. Hallelujah. So you see, it has to be spiced up. Do you see? So maybe the tale bearer calls you and then she begins the story. He says, I heard this story. It's not like that. It's not like that. It's not like that. He says, I was at the wedding. I heard the story. I saw everything. I was at the wedding. I heard this. You sit down. Let me tell you. You see, you don't observe things. You don't observe things. At the wedding, did you see something? He says, I saw everything. And I saw the pictures. I saw everything. You see, the main thing is that, you see, she's the one that proposed to him. He wasn't the one that proposed to her. And you didn't see as they were exchanging the vows? Didn't you see? The man was trying to do. You see, he was... The man is just a stamina. And when they say I do, he say No, you didn't see the tale bearer have to spice the story. So that it becomes enjoyable. Hallelujah. And you also enjoy to listen to it. Hallelujah. I say people who enjoy hearing a tale bearer are themselves tale bearers. Amen. Whenever you carry stories from one place to the other, you realize that the little truth that is in it is taken out. Amen. You realize the little truth that is in it is taken out. So the tale bearer, as he's moving from one place to the other, you realize that the story is becoming less and less of the truth. Sometimes there's a tale, there's a story, there's a truth. But it gets spiced up. Hallelujah. Sometimes people have taken the preaching. They're taking a part out of context. And they have made stories out of it. Hallelujah. They have taken a part out of the preaching and they have made stories. Maybe I'm preaching and then I use this brother as an example. I say for example, Brother Chiani, maybe I'm teaching about morals and I'm teaching about behavior in church. When you come to church, the way you should, Paul was teaching us how to carry ourselves, how to behave in church. And I said, things that we shouldn't do is men, for instance, Brother Chiani, when he comes to church and he sees the woman and he greets them and then he hits the buttocks a little bit. You see? Then I say, hey, sister, how are you? Then he hits your buttocks a little bit. You see? Then someone will take the part, The only thing the person will take is Brother Chiani and hitting buttocks. Hey, have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? I tell you, have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? And then they take the message out of context. Leaves out, say for example, they will not say for example. He said, have you heard that Brother Chiani these days when he goes to church? You see, as the woman, he greets the woman as they are going. Chiani, be careful, eh? So you realize that sometimes you are preaching a message and then you are there and then after some time you don't see somebody in church. You don't see the person in church, and when you come to find out, it's a message that you preach, that you said something. And completely out of context. Hallelujah. Completely out of context. Now, even if something bad is said about someone, something, if, for instance, we are preaching and we use someone's story or someone as an example and we share something and it's so bad, the idea is to admonish you. The idea is to encourage you. Hallelujah. You see, there's a scripture in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Look, it says, and let the peace of God rule in you. No, it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing with a grace in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. So you see, if you are taking something to share with someone, it should admonish the person. It should be of the psalms. It should be of the hymns. Hallelujah. It should be of spiritual songs. Things that admonish. So this thing that you are going to tell another person, think about it. Will it admonish the person? If it is not, then it's just gossip, tale-bearing. That is just going to destroy the person. Hallelujah. That is just going to destroy the person. There are certain stories that just destroy people. Hallelujah. You see someone has been raised by a particular set of parents, and then you see them, and then you are talking with the parents, you are talking with the person, talking with the person. By the way, you know, do you know that they are not your real parents? Oh, after all these years, the person is grown. And then, do you know they are not your real parents? You see, tale bearers always want to have some exciting, some news that will, is a, like a breakthrough. Breaking news. CNN. Hallelujah. Amen. Your brother has found a sister that he wants to marry. He's interested in a sister. And then you go to the sister, you go to the brother, and then you say, ah, but do you know that, you know, this person wanted to marry her and it didn't work? What is the point? What is the point? You see, why are you saying it? What is the idea behind it? It's not admonishing. Hallelujah. It's not admonishing. And the Bible says a talebearer is like wood. Wood. It sets situations on fire. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and 20. Amen. It says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Hallelujah. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. When there is no wood, the fire ceases. If you have seen a fireplace before, if the wood runs out, you realize the fire starts dying. And the Bible is making that analogy. It says that, so where there is no talebearer, the strife or the quarrels, the fight, it stops. The conflict stops when there is no talebearer. The tension goes away when there is no talebearer. When there is no talebearer in the family is at peace. Hallelujah. When the talebearer is removed from our midst, we live in peace. The fire ceases. He says, when there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Hallelujah. So when there is no talebearer, the spreading of bad stories ceases. Amen. It stops. It stops the quarrel. It stops the division. Amen. So we ought to ourselves try not to be talebearers, and we also have to avoid talebearers. Amen. We ought to avoid talebearers. Hallelujah. You see, the word of God is so amazing. God is interested in every area of our life. So you would think that, oh, just simple woman gossip, no big deal. But God is telling us that it's a big deal. Simple men's gossip, no big deal. It's a big deal. Simple gossip between husband and wife, as though it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal. Hallelujah. You see, because when the talebearer is done, when the talebearer is done or is leaving your presence, you'll be left with anger. After the talebearer is done with you, you realize that you are left with anger. You are left with some form of animosity against another person. Hallelujah. After the talebearer is done with you. And so you have to avoid. There are certain stories that you don't want to hear. There are certain things about certain people that you just avoid hearing it. Hallelujah. Because it just brings about fire. Amen. It just brings about fire. Hallelujah. It just incites. You see, you will see fire, and underneath it, there must be wood. If there's no wood, there will be no fire. Hallelujah. Talebearers always, one day some people were having their meeting, and they said, there's a pastor's wife here who wants people to carry her bag all the time. And when they are not carrying her bag, she's angry. You see? So the person should be talked to. So the person who gave that information, the person who received that information, knows the person is very unlikely to do that. Do you see? But right away, you are creating something in someone's head, someone who does not know the person. You say, how could a person be sitting in the church and doing things like that? That you want people to carry your bag, and when they are not carrying your bag, you are angry. Do you see? So you see, you create that thing already. So when the person is coming, she's the one that wants people. So you see, as you are coming with your bag, people are moving away. Hallelujah. When we were in school, there were some classroom organizers, some people who, as you are sitting in class like that, you know, there are some people, they can't sit at one position. They're always changing. So they sit with you, and then they will tell you, see that lady over there? She says she can beat you. You see that little girl? She says she can beat you. You see, and then she will go to that little girl. That little girl, maybe she's a very tough girl also. So this guy, she says, you think you are tough, but he can take you down in 2 seconds. So as the two people are sitting in the class, you turn around and you look at her like this. And then you nod your head. And then she also turn around. So sometimes you turn around and then your eyes clash. It means that the story is true. You really said this about me. So after school, he meets the two of you. He says, so what are you going to do about it? You just... So they organize a place. Oh, I experienced these things in school. I don't know about you. They organize a place in a park. And then they take the sand. They say, put your hand if you are ready to fight. And then the two of you. So as the two of you are fighting, ripping your khaki clothes, he runs to the talebearer, he runs to the teacher. He goes to the teacher. Please, teacher. Please, teacher. This one boy and one girl are fighting. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Teenagers create stories. Simple story that they see, they make up stories about it. Have you heard? Have you heard that when Jesus visited Martha and Mary, do you know what happened? Hey, I hear it was not easy. I hear that Jesus faced Martha so badly. I said, I hear that she turned red. Martha turned red, her face. Right now, there's some big fight going on between Mary and Martha. It's not easy. You see, even the thing is destroying Jesus' ministry. It's killing. Did you see Jesus the other time? You saw his face as he was preaching, the way he was facing the woman. It's because of that incident. I tell you, tell bearers. You see, there's a big thing between Peter and John and James. You know, there's a big thing going on amongst them. Did you hear about it, the fight? It's every time a talebearer, have you heard? And they spice up the story for you. Hallelujah. Talebearing is not good. Amen. It is the one principal thing that destroys our churches. Hallelujah. Let me read a scripture to you in 1 Timothy. Avoid being a talebearer. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It brings division. It brings separation. It brings conflicts. 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's read from verse 7. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 7. Are you there? Verse 7. It says, give these instructions to the church so that no one will be open to criticisms. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. A widow who is put on the list for support must be a woman who is at least 60 years old. And was faithful to her husband. You see, those days the church had the responsibility of taking care of widows, caring for them, and providing for their needs. So these things were also creating issues in the church. So Paul now is giving instruction. He says, anyone who will be placed on the list of a list for support, the church social welfare system. Yes, the church welfare system. Anyone who will be put on it, a widow who is put on the list for support must be a woman who is, a widow must be a woman, who is at least 60 years old. Hallelujah. You see? So, you see, those days they even eliminated, if you are married to a man is married to a man and your husband dies, you don't qualify. Do you understand? So, this scripture, for people who are men and married to a man and you come, you say, my husband is dead. You don't qualify for this. You must be a woman. If you are a widow, you must be a woman. Hallelujah. And you must be 60 years old and faithful to your husband. Not a woman who was cheating and your husband died. Maybe that is what killed him. You see. She must be well respected by everyone because of the good she has done. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to strangers and served other believers humbly? Has she helped those who are in trouble? Has she always been ready to do good? We are talking about the widows in the church. If they have been doing good, hallelujah. Then he says the younger widows should not be on the list. Don't put the younger widows on the list. Below 60. You don't qualify to be on the list because their physical desires will overpower their devotion to Christ. And they will want to marry again. Hallelujah. Then they will be guilty of breaking their previous pledge. And if they are on the list, look at what will happen. They will learn to be lazy. I didn't say it. They will learn to be lazy and will spend their time gossiping from house to house, meddling in other people's business, and talking about things they shouldn't. So I advise these younger widows to marry again, have children, and take care of their own homes. Let them be busy. Do you see? Let them have children. Let them be busy with children. And let them take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. Hallelujah. Because he says, for I am afraid that even now some of them have already gone astray. And they now follow Satan. Hallelujah. So you see, it is a good thing to be busy. To be busy in the church. You see, to exercise yourself in activities in the church. That when the church is over, when service is over, you are busy rehearsing in the choir. You are busy welcoming visitors, talking to visitors, talking to people, new members, and encouraging them. This is what you are busy about doing. You are busy cleaning the church. You cannot stop. You are busy. You are busy packing instruments. You are busy moving things, and so on and so forth. You are busy. But if you are not busy, you realize that you have to sit down. And when you sit down, another less busy person or somebody who is not also busy will come and sit with you. Forgive. I'm preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. So you see, you put yourself in a position to gossip. If you are not busy, if you are not doing anything, you put yourself in a position to gossip. Hallelujah. And if you like to chat, you have to always have some interesting things to talk about. If you like to chat, there must be something interesting about you. Otherwise, if you sit down, nobody will come and sit with you. But when you are sitting down and you are boring, you want someone to come and sit with you. So when the person comes, then you hit the person. Have you heard? Hallelujah. Amen. Emmanuel, do you understand what I'm sharing with you? So you have to be busy. Busy with activities in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Ilona, do you understand? Be busy with activities. Huh? Be busy with activities. So that, you see, when you are busy rehearsing, and you are constant, nobody can gossip with you. Or they gossip in the rehearsals. They gossip with the lyrics. Mercy. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Let's read some few more scriptures and then we can go home. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 16 and verse 17. It says, and now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for the people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. Say, I am obedient to the Lord. And this makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent of any wrong. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Hallelujah. You see, so here Paul is saying, he says, Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Hallelujah. Contrary to the doctrines that you have been taught. One of the things or one of the doctrines that we teach a lot in this church is loyalty. Hallelujah. It's loyalty. So if you find a person who is exercising or behaving in a way which is contrary to the doctrines that has been taught in the church, the Bible is saying, stay away from that person. Hallelujah. Stay away from that person. You see, it's not teaching things contrary to what we have been taught. It's not only sitting you down and say, no, your loyalty is not to the high authority. If somebody is close to you, you have to be loyal to the person. If it's your wife, you have to be loyal to the person. If it is your best friend, you have to. You see, and the person may not teach you like that, but you can see from the person's behavior and actions that it is contrary to what you have been taught. Hallelujah. And from such, stay away. Amen. From such, stay away. Hallelujah. There are some people that things are taught in the Bible and it is directly written in the Bible, but they have another doctrine. The Bible is saying, for such people, stay away from them. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 11. Let's read Proverbs chapter 11 first. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 13. Can you give us that in the King James Version, please? Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. A talebearer reveals secrets. Hallelujah. A talebearer goes about giving out secrets. Hallelujah. How many of you understand that secrets are not meant for you to know? Do you see? So when someone is revealing a secret to you, do not think that the person likes you. That is why he's revealing the secret to you. Do you understand? The Bible says that is a talebearer. He says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Hallelujah. Another one, Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. He says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Hallelujah. He that goeth about as a talebearer, if it is going about, the person is going about as a talebearer, then the Bible is saying he is revealing secrets. And stay away from such a person. I say, when someone is telling you of some secret, it's not showing that he likes you, or he loves you, or she likes you, or she loves you. Hallelujah. When someone is telling you of something that you don't need to know, you see, you don't need to know. You see, in the hospital, for instance, there are information, even if you are a physician or you are a nurse, there are certain information that you don't need to know. Do you see? That somebody has HIV and you are not caring directly for the person, you don't need to know. Amen. So when someone is sharing, do you know this patient has HIV? I mean, it's not going to do anything to you. You are not ever going to come in contact with that person. And so there's something called need-to-know basis only. You disclose information on a need-to-know basis only. Hallelujah. There are certain information that you don't need to know. There are certain times, certain stories about certain men of God that you don't need to know. You don't want to know. And so when someone rises up and is telling you some deep secret about a certain man of God, you say, brother, thank you very much. You know, because you see, what it does to you is it makes you lose the sense of awe that you have for such a person. And the Bible also says that in many things, we all make many mistakes in all things. Do you see? So if you have such honor and such respect and you receive from such a man of God and someone is telling you something about him, just tell the person, you know, thank you very much. This is Paul. David said, I do not exercise myself in matters that are too high for me. Hallelujah. So certain things, don't exercise yourself. It takes certain things out of you. And so that is why I'm saying when someone is telling you of a secret, it does not mean the person loves you. The person has left you with some distraction. The person has broken some great relationship that you had, that you used to receive from this great man of God. Oh, I didn't know that. You see, for instance, you are going through some difficulty with your marriage. And then you have heard also that, you know, the pastor is also going through some difficulty with his marriage, that they are planning to divorce. And then you hear it. You see, you hear it. It's not going to build your relationship up. It's not going to build your marriage up. It is going to enhance your plan to go away. Hallelujah. There are certain stories that we don't need to tell our children. Amen. There are certain things that your children should not know. Hallelujah. You see, one day Sarah sat her son down, and as she was talking, she said, do you know your father? One time, we went somewhere, and he told the people that I am his sister. Look at him, praying and fasting. He says he has God. He told them he lied. You see, because maybe she's angry with him. She's angry with him. He says, he told the people that I'm his sister. They almost raped me. And then the boy, what? Daddy do that? Daddy could do something like, you see, and the boy is angry. You see, so, you see, you have just said something, just bearing a tale. And maybe Sarah also spies it up a little bit. The man was just ready. The man taking his clothes. And then, you know, if it wasn't my prayer, you see, I went on my knees. I went on my knees immediately and I was crying to the Lord. And if it wasn't for my prayers, you see, meanwhile, God was just intervening. And so he said, oh, mommy, you have really suffered with this man. You see, you've really tried. And you have lived with this man all these years. Look at me. That's why all these wrinkles. You see, so you think you are just saying something, but you see, then it has sown a seed in the heart of the son that when he also had an opportunity where the first thing that came in his mind, father's plan, it works. So when they also ask him, he says, that's my sister. He also lied. So you see, there are certain things that, mothers, there are certain things that when you are angry, you don't have to tell your children. When you are angry, there are certain things that you don't need. There are certain things that your husbands had done to you and were very unpleasant. You don't need to share them with your children. There are certain things that your wife has done to you that are very unpleasant. You don't need to share them with your children. The Bible says, admonish them, admonish them, admonish them, admonish them. In psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs. Hallelujah. Tell them things that will admonish them, things that will bring them up, things that will make them not make the mistakes that you made. Hallelujah. You see your father now walking around like that. You see him. He was an alcoholic. You know, he used to drink. You see, this cabinet was full of bottles. He used to drink, and you are sharing stories like that. So when your son is having a little trouble with alcohol, he does not make any effort. He says it's in the genes. It's in the genes. Hallelujah. Your husband was having affairs in a relationship. You don't need to share them with your son. Because you see, when he happens to be in a situation and you are talking to him, it's not me. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. But I think it was passed on. You see, it was passed on to me. Hallelujah. Amen. So mothers, when you are angry, there are certain things that you have to be very careful sharing them with your children. Hallelujah. Let us read one more scripture. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. It says, the words of a talebearer are wounds. The words of a talebearer are wounds. Amen. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Hallelujah. It says, the words of a talebearer, they are wounds. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You see, I'm telling you, when you are... There are some people, they like to bear tales. Always they have some stories they want to tell. And you also like to hear them. But the Bible is saying, the words of a talebearer, they are wounds. They are wounds. And you see, the Bible is not saying that the talebearer or the tale or the story is a wound. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? The story is not a wound. It's the talebearer's words. The talebearer's words that make it a wound. Hallelujah. So, yes, you may hear the story, but depending on who is delivering the story, it becomes a wound in your life. Hallelujah. It becomes a wound. And it says that it goes down into the innermost parts of the belly. Hallelujah. It goes down into the innermost parts of the belly. Amen. You see, it's like giving an injection. When you are giving an injection, you see, the needle is very painful. The needle hurts. I don't know if you have received injection before. But the needle is the one that is bearing the tail. You see? The needle is bearing the tail. All that you want is a story. But the deliverer is the one that causes the pain. The deliverer is the one that causes the wound. So the thing that is carrying the thing that you want to hear the story. But as it is coming, the deliverer has something. So as the needle hits you, it gives you a wound before the story. The story, you see, a lot of times the injection or the solution does not hurt. A lot of times, there are some few injections that burn. But a lot of times, the injection does not hurt. It is the deliverer, the one that is delivering it. So a talebearer, his words are wounds. As you are listening and as you are listening, as you are sitting there and you are soaking it in, as you are enjoying the story, when he's done with you, you realize that there's so many wounds in your life. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? So you realize that the talebearer has carried a story. It's a very simple story. But the way it was delivered, it has left you with scars. Amen. Yes, it is true that the two of them are going through some challenges in their marriage. And it is true that some people have sat them down. Some people have sat them down and they spoke to them. And they still are going on. But the way the talebearer would deliver the story to you, you see, it creates some wound in your heart. It creates something in your life that even the way you look at the person now, it changes completely. Hallelujah. The way you look at the person now changes completely. So the Bible is telling us we ourselves should not be tail-bearers. Tail-bearing is a poison of the tongue. Hallelujah. Tail-bearing is a poison of the tongue. And we should not utilize our tongues as tail-bearers. Hallelujah. And we ourselves should not also entertain tail-bearers. Amen. Because you see, a lot of times, if you are someone who likes to hear stories, you have to also, you see, when the tail-bearer comes to you, I want to tell you that when he leaves you, he's taking some story from you to go also. Hallelujah. After the tail bearer is done with you, because he's delivering and he's receiving. And they are partners. Do you see? They are partners. So you realize a lot of times you go, you hear of a story that is from you, but the way it has been delivered, when you hear that story. So there's some truth in it. You see, I want you to understand that scripture very well. There is some truth in it. The story is the truth. But the one who is delivering it, the words of the one who is delivering it, has made now that story create wounds in your life. Hallelujah. It says the words of a tale bearer are as wounds. They are as wounds. The words of a tale bearer, they are as wounds. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The tale bearer designs the story to create an effect. That when he's done with you, there's a purpose. There's an effect that has to happen on you. Hallelujah. So let us avoid tale bearers. And let us also avoid ourselves being tale bearers. Hallelujah. Our time is up. And we will stop here. And we will continue next time that we meet. Why don't you clap for Jesus as you stand onto your feet. Stand onto your feet.
And I will soar with you. Your spirit lifts me on.
He says, do not go from house to house, bearing tale. Do not go from house to house, gossiping. Do not go from house to house, person to person, bearing tales.
He
says, the words of a tale bearer, they create wounds. The words of a tale bearer, they leave you with wounds. Do not be a tale bearer. A tale bearer is a person who is allowing the enemy to utilize him. A tale bearer is a person who is allowing the enemy to bring separation, to bring division, to bring animosity amongst people. A tale bearer destroys relationships. They destroy the relationship between a pastor and a pastor. They destroy the relationship between the pastor and the congregation. Oh, yes. Help us, Jesus. Help us.
Lord, I come to know. Lord, I come to know.
Oh, yes.
The weaknesses I see. Lord, in me.
Do you see it? Do you see it?
Won't be straight away.
Yes. Oh. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus.
By the power
help us, Jesus.
Of your love.
Oh. Yes.
Think again, Lord,
help
I come
us.
To you.
The power of your spirit will help us. Begin. That we will not be tale bearers. And we will not entertain tale bearers. Help us, Jesus.
To
yes.
You. Let my heart be changed.
Let my heart be changed.
Oh, Lord, renewed, Lord.
Change us, Lord. Change our hearts.
Flowing from the grace
change our mind.
In you.
Renew our mind. As your word has come, may you wash us like water. Yes, Lord. May we
Lord,
not entertain the secrets that come from tail bearing. For they destroy us. They destroy the relationship that we have. They destroy the sense of awe. The sense of awe that we have for great men and great women. Oh, yes. Take them from amongst our midst, O God.
I see in me, Lord,
will be straight away.
Will be straight away, Lord, oh, Lord.
By the power of your love,
please hold me close, oh, 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 oh.
Oh.
Close. side.
Draw me to your side. Your spirit leads me on by the power of your love.
Oh, yes, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for what you have revealed to us, oh God. We thank you, oh Lord, for such a small member so close to us and so accessible. Can bring our life on fire. Heavenly Father, we do not have control of this member of our body. Father, some of us have not learned to tame our tongues. Father, sometimes we tell stories that we regret. We tell stories that we do not want to tell. Oh, Jesus, give us that ability to tame our tongues. Give us that skill to tame our tongues. Help us to tame our tongues. You say all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles have been tamed, but the tongue has no man been able to tame. You say out of that same mouth pours out blessings, and that same mouth it pours out curses. Father, deliver us. You say the tongue is set on fire by fire from hell itself. Therefore, Lord, deliver us that the hellfire will not have access to our tongues. May we say that which you want us to say. May you utter the words that shall come out of our mouths. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit will give us that ability to control the things that we say. We thank you, Jesus. There are things that we have said, oh God. It has already set our lives on fire. But you are a merciful God, oh Lord.
Your spirit lifts me.
Have mercy upon us. Lord, for we were ignorant of some of the things that we have said. Forgive us. And reverse the process that these things have set our lives into. We thank you for speaking to us. Deliver us, Lord, from tail bearers. May you remove them from amongst us. You said they should not go from people to people bearing tails. Therefore, Lord, may you not bring them in our midst. For you said they carry secrets. Lord, seal our ears to secrets. Seal our ears to things that are too high for us. Seal our ears to the stories of tail bearers. May they not live amongst us in the name of Jesus. May we not have tail bearers in our church. May we ourselves not become tail bearers. If there be any tail bearer that has planned, that the enemy is sending to us, Lord, have mercy and send them away in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. If there's anyone here this evening, you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to come before the Lord, you say, I am a sinner, I want to receive Jesus. I want Christ in my life. Say, I am not saved, but this evening you want to come before Jesus. You want to come and receive Christ. If that is your story, if that is you, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want to receive Him this evening, it is a wonderful opportunity. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? Anyone here, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Anyone here like that? Why don't you all join and let's say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Say, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you. But I believe you are the Son of God, the only Son who was given to mankind to deliver us from our sins, to reconcile us with God. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins. I invite you this evening to come and live in my heart. Take control of my life. Lord Jesus, please write my name in the book of life. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Master. Lord Jesus, take control of my life.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.